Today is Thursday, September the 29th. Joining us this morning is the Executive Director of the Redwood Region Economic Development
Commission.
I had to put a little emphasis.
Yeah, commission.
Thanks for kind of like stealing my word. Well, actually, it's your word, I suppose.
Yeah.
Greg Foster.
It's the people's word.
Oh,
and I'm like not the, running for
is
anything.
Is that like the people's elbow from The Rock?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not a wrestling fan, are you?
You mean the
big-time wrestling?
Big-time wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
Oh, man, you missed about 10 years of great fun with Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, is that
the
it?
Rock?
And they the people's elbow?
It was the people's elbow when he would.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh yeah. I miss him.
Yeah, that's one part of the culture that I haven't experienced too much.
Treat it as a marketing equation.
And yeah, there you go.
All of a sudden, all that the swamp gets drained.
And oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, they're
a
brilliant.
Multi-billion-dollar.
Exactly.
Wow, okay.
Exactly.
Then you fall into the section of awe.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant.
Our quote this morning, let's see if we can find one here. Ha! From Merriam-Webb, quote, "If you stop to be kind, you must swerve often from your path."
Perfect.
So what's new and exciting in downtown Eureka?
Well, I will give you a traffic update if folks want one. If you're coming up from...
We got plenty of them. You're just young. That's an acceptable programming element. Yeah.
I was just driving up from Ferndale, and it looks like Caltrans is working on the bridge there at the Tompkins Hill overpass, and the traffic was backed up from there. This is a northbound, all the way back to the Lolita grade. So if your folks from...
The Lolita grade. You sound like you're L.A.
Lolita grade. Coming down the Lolita grade. The hill there.
There you go. Thank
whatever
you.
The hell you want to call it. But,
make it Humboldt County proof.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be okay then. We won't lose
So this. Anyway, if you're coming up from that, from down south, be aware of that, because traffic was stopped for at least a short amount of time in front of CR.
Like stop and go traffic?
It was like 5 mile an hour.
Like we
there.
Have to send up the Kin's copter?
Yeah, right. It's in a box back in the storeroom somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
No one can find the batteries.
Yeah. Oh boy. So what you got other than traffic congestion in Humboldt County? Who'd have thunk it?
And that's the news of the morning. Talk about a little bit about a conference that the ADC is putting on. Coming up on Monday, it's kind of interesting. They're doing it with the California Association of Local Economic Development, and it's all about the next generation. What's coming? You know, what are they looking for? What kind of jobs are out there for them? What they're looking for employment wise?
So this is millennials, or this is the post millennial?
You know, I would say I'm trying to even think of I would say millennial, maybe slightly post millennial. I always sort of define.
How'd you like to be known as a post millennial?
Post millennial. Well, I'm a Gen X. Gen X.
A what?
Gen X. Yeah, which used to be cool, but now it's just old.
Yeah. Hey, listen, from a baby boomer's perspective, you're still a kid.
Yeah, there you
K-I-N-S,
go.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19. We'll be back. Get things rolling with traffic reference with Greg Foster. Yeah.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the conference, or you were talking a little bit about, it sounded to me as if you were talking about jobs for the college graduates. And we just had something, I think about one of the programs this morning around 7:30 that indicated that historically, 40% of those graduating from college didn't get a job in their major.
Yeah.
You know, it was something
right,
else.
Right.
You know, the more pedestrian positions.
Right.
But that number's jumped to over half.
Yeah, yeah.
So I look at something like that as a kind of a preface or a reference for this. First thing is, how many kids are getting degrees in ancient Egyptian philosophy?
Yeah.
You know, you go, really? And you think there's an employment.
Right.
Or they just take something to, and if they're just taking it to get it,
right,
get a degree,
right, right.
Okay, no problem. Follow your passion, whatever. But if you're looking to be paid for it,
right, right,
get something that has got some job skills and some employment potential out in the real world.
Right.
You know,
right.
Not being a teacher at the university teaching the same subject that you're taking class in, that doesn't count.
Right, right.
Well, and I wonder how many of the majors, how many of the graduates, whether it's from Humboldt or whether it's from the UC system or the state system or nationally, get degrees in what most would consider unemployable,
right,
disciplines.
Right, right. Well, you know, sort of, and I'm going through this both from a professional side and also having a son who's 21 and a son who's 17, right? And I tell them, you basically, you know, go to school and learn something that interests you. But with a mind that you at some point need to support yourself and a family and want to proceed in life, you know, without the constant support of your parents. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with going into something like whatever the ancient Egyptian philosophy, if that's what interests you, but go in with a realistic expectation that your job options, focusing on that, will be limited.
Yeah, you may be flipping pancakes
right
till you're 40. Yeah.
Right, right. But that's okay if the person going through that is mindful of that. And what I tell my kids is, listen, you have, quite honestly, you're going into this job or this school and you're taking something, but in reality, you know, you really don't know where you'll end up. And I, you know, the diversity and the type of job mobility now is amazing. I mean, there are jobs that don't even exist now that may exist in 4 years. You know, you know, who thought you would be a Facebook algorithm programmer, you know, or who knows what?
Yeah, who'd have thunk that one?
You know, I mean, there are things out there that clearly didn't even exist when I went to school, you know, low those many years ago. And so, you know, there's two reasons to go to college. One is, there's probably multiple reasons, but.
Oh, boy, Dad, are you going to step it in on this one?
I know, exactly.
Yeah, either way you go.
One of them is get the heck out of my house. But one is, you know, to learn a subject matter, obviously. And the other is to gather the skills you need to sort of succeed when you become independent or fully independent and get out there. And I know when I was in school, I took my major, which was political science. But then I did a lot of different things outside, sort of extracurricular, that led me to have certain sets of skills and experience that may be more employable when I came out. And my own career path has been that I've worked in policy in Sacramento. I've been a banker. You know, I've been at REDEC. I've managed radio stations, which was the pinnacle of my career.
Played football without a helmet.
Yeah, right.
Just so, before you took that position, right, at the radio station.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah,
exactly. So you don't know. I mean, I guess the key is to be relevant and be focused and go in with your eyes open. And so there is this, I think, disappointment gap maybe that some of these folks are coming out of school and they expect to go right into a career path that might be somewhat specialized and, you know, well-paying right out of school.
Well, and starting at least middle management.
Right.
You know, upper middle management.
And, I came out of school and my first job was literally doing the word processing and typing and sorting the mail while I did my true job search. For the organization I was a leader of just a month before. And then I was the, you know, fill-in administrative assistant, getting a whole $5 an hour. But that was what I did while I was out looking for a job that would start my career path.
So the conference itself is to understand more what these kids coming out are looking for as the community, as potential employers, or is it for those that are coming out what to anticipate, what to expect, what to see in the real world after they're out of school?
It's a little of both. And so it's, you know, we're mixing the cows and I say we. I'm
the
not,
cows and the grapefruits.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say cows and sheep. But yeah, cows and grapefruit may be actually a better description. So I'm only attending this. I'm not organizing it. So this is being put on by AEDC and the California Association for Local Economic Development, and there's a group called Next Gen Eureka that's really much getting involved in this. And so they're doing it together. So what they're trying to do is bring both sides together and address some of those questions that you were just mentioning. You know, what are the jobs that are available? What's coming up? What are they looking for, et cetera?
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. Talk shop presented by Same Such Entity,
hey, there
along
you go.
With CDH Painting.
Another fine organization.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another fine decision made by management of REDEC.
That too.
Yeah. Boy, I got to give you your lines too.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy
this time,
Toledo.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a news story this morning that really I was surprised at, and you know, I kind of live in my own little cocoon, so I mm-hmm. get that. But it came from Humboldt State saying that they had a structural deficit of, what, 500,000, I think?
I was listening to that on the way in.
Something along those lines. I'm thinking, wait a minute. Now, all I've been hearing the last little bit is Humboldt State is at capacity, all-time registration.
Right.
And we've got a structural deficit of 500,000. Now, I'm looking at it going, okay, 800 people or whatever it is that work there, you can't find 10 people, 10 jobs that you can eliminate.
Right.
And now you've got your structural balances taken care of.
Right.
You know, they're looking at needing more enrollment. Well, you know, whether they bring back the nursing program or they probably won't because of the cost. Or something cheap.
Right.
So it's almost all incremental monies coming in. I thought, interesting that all of a sudden something happened here and we're hearing about this now and 2 or 3 years ago when everything was lovey-dovey.
Right. And, you know, I listened to the story on the way and I have not read the report. And, you know, they're saying there are two issues. One was obviously, it was a pretty obvious, you know, we need more money coming in and less money going out. So that's you know.
Was that the recommendation?
Yeah.
We need more students and we need to cut costs.
Right.
Duh.
So, and on the more student side, one of the issues that I think we're facing not only for the university and enrollment but also for young folks who are starting out the job market here is the housing situation, I think, is really gotten to the point where, you know, we need a serious conversation, you know, set the politics aside and really look at what the housing situation is for in the rental housing market, you know, the entry level housing.
Are you thinking along the lines of more dorms?
Well,
more dorm style
for the university, it would maybe be both. You know?
If they got pulled out of some of the homes, obviously then there's housing available for others.
Right. And you know, one of the questions I have is, you know, the university has been growing, and they talk about, you know, while they were down, I guess, a bit this year. There's been quite a bit of growth, but, you know, how's the housing been keeping up with that? In Eureka, I hear that a lot from younger folks trying to find apartments. And when you talk to the millennials more in general, and there's a lot of market research about this, they're looking for a more, urban experience, being down in where you're working and living and recreating or entertaining. And
the third floor.
Right, exactly.
In the downtown, yeah.
And so, I think that's a big issue, because not only does it...
we got to find a downtown.
Well, yeah.
It has a third story.
Yeah, we don't have a third story in the downtown. Well, we have some, but we have a lot of vacant office space downtown. And, the city's been talking about rezoning some of that vacant office space upstairs into residential. I personally think that's a great idea.
But is it office with a common bathroom down the hall is one thing.
Right. No, you're going to need to rebuild these.
It's a matter of getting in and really doing some stuff.
But when you see what some of the rents are down there, I think there's an economic argument to be made that you could make that happen. And I read the article on the lovely budget motel that and how much they were getting per unit over there, and that is probably not operating in a sort of what we would call a natural market. Because there's a lot of government subsidy going in, but as I look at that, that and other properties, I'm thinking, why aren't we doing all we can to take care of the problems there? Don't let them go on for years and years and years, and we all know what the issue is. And then look at them as converting into a more reasonable sort of workforce. Type nice multifamily housing. It solves a lot of problems when you have housing in a downtown. And one of the problems it solves is crime, because you have people with lights on, you have the eyes on the street as they talk, and that helps.
And they're not
that.
Dilated eyes.
Right. and it also, it helps the businesses. It helps people who are starting out in the job market. And I think it's a big issue.
I would suggest one of the leading causes, and we can take our break and come back and continue. So don't worry, Winston. Is we specialized and incentivized and focused so much over the last couple years about high density, low cost senior housing, high density, low cost, low income. Housing. We've got all these things where there's special government subsidies that are in play. Why should a builder risk going out and do normal stuff? Particularly right. because right. then it's going to increase the supply in the marketplace and drive down what they're able to get on the other stuff.
Right.
I mean, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot, so why would they?
Well, and that's a good question. Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll get a response when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back for Mr. Foster's response this morning from the question that I forgot that I asked before the break, or the statement that I said before. I think it was about housing. Low cost, and that's what we've been specializing in for years, and now it's coming up and grabbing us as we try to get normal people or the kids who want to stay here something that isn't 90% of their initial income.
Right, right. We do have a lot of affordable housing programs, and the federal and state government provides a lot of assistance for, low and moderate income and senior housing. And, these are all important things. But that those houses or those apartments will have a lot of sort of regulatory overlays. You have pretty narrow conditions under which a person can get in. And so let's say you're a 25-year-old who, maybe making a halfway decent salary, but you're just starting off and you don't want to spend a lot on your housing because you want to save some money. Maybe you want to buy a house and you're starting out.
Well, let's say you're a singleton, so you don't have a double income.
Right, right. You know, what do you do? And you know, what I'm hearing from a lot of the younger folks who are, you know, in that category, you know, they're educated, they want to be here, they've either, you know, been left school and come back, or they're came here for school and decided to stay, is that they're having a heck of a time finding a place to live. And it's not just them. I'm hearing it from, you know, my work through the Hospital Foundation and others. It's just like, we don't have places for people.
Can we have, or are there communities that have housing that's like a one bedroom, one bath, but it's a house, not a mother-in-law unit, a
right,
house. And they
right.
just design it for true entry level. And they sell for like $100,000.
Right.
So most of these young folks would be able to qualify for it. There'd
right.
still be the demand, so they could spin it.
Right.
But it gets them into the river, so to speak.
Right, right. And, you know, my first house that I bought, I was 25 years old, and you know, we had almost no money, but we put that, you know, first-time home buyer, so we had to put very little down. It was 1,000 square feet, counting the garage, you know, so it was pretty darn small. But we were two incomes, you know, probably the closest we have here right now. And these houses are going to be starting to sell soon is Scotia. You know, I went down there and did a tour with the town of Scotia folks and they're, you know, in phases are going to be selling the houses down there. Now Scotia's a nice town, but it's a, you know, it's not the urban core, obviously. So,
and it's a pretty good distance from urban
right,
core,
right,
if that's what
right,
you're looking for.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. So the question becomes, you know, we have, I think, a lot of underutilized space. We have the places like the Budget. We have other, you know, empty lots downtown. What, you know, are there market incentives? I don't know that I have the answers, but I think you don't get the answers until you clearly define the problem.
Do you need subsidies, though?
I don't know.
If the permitting would allow maybe smaller setbacks,
right,
maybe smaller parcel sizes.
Right.
You do something like that.
Right. Well, and you got to make it so it's there's a market reason for a developer to go in and do it.
You mean profit?
Well, yeah, of course.
That's a good word around here.
It's a great word.
Thanks for coming by.
All right, thank you.
See you all tomorrow.